As we come to the table tonight, isn't it great to know that we come as people who have been rescued? And that could only happen through what Jesus Christ did for us. And it's a song that Nancy and Peter just sang, just a great tribute to our Lord, because indeed He alone is the one who could accomplish our salvation. It's obviously Labor Day weekend. You all know that. And so I thought tonight, as we prepare for communion, that we would take some time to think about, why do I do works for the Lord? Why do I do works for the Lord? Hopefully you received a handout as you came in tonight, and you have that maybe just as a guide as we go through here. But when we think about works for the Lord, understand I'm not just talking about what we do here at church. Many of us are involved in church ministries here. We're doing what would be considered to be works for the Lord here at the church. But understand that every day, everything we do is really to be a work for the Lord. And so when I ask the question, why do I do works for the Lord? We're really asking the question, day in, day out, the things that you do, why do you do them? They should be called works for the Lord. And I want to think a little bit about that tonight. I'm hoping that as we go through our study tonight, that you'll be reminded or catch a fresh glimpse of how the cross, what Jesus Christ did for us, should impact our works for the Lord and what we do. And to give us guidance, there's a couple passages I want to look at. We could look at a number of them, but there's two. We're going to look at Ephesians 2. I'm going to read these for you. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10, and then Titus 3, verses 4 to 8. And as I was considering these passages over the last few weeks, it's obvious that there's some common themes in these two passages, and I want to highlight some of those themes, and then that'll help us to focus on where I'm headed tonight. So let me read for you from Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And then over to Titus chapter 3. Starting at verse 4 through verse 8. "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." I noticed three common themes that I want to highlight. There could be others, but let me highlight three things. And the third one is the one we really want to get to, but we should mention these other two. First of all, it's because of God's grace, love, and mercy that I am saved. Did you see that? It's because of God's grace, love, and mercy that I am saved. Nothing else. And back in Ephesians chapter 2, did you notice how Paul describes who were we before we became Christians? He said we were dead in verse 1. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And what did God do? Verse 4, "God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, Even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Great act of God's love and mercy. Over in Titus 3:4, it talked about when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared. God's kindness and love showed up and salvation was provided for us. So tonight, just rejoice in the fact and acknowledge that it is indeed because of God's grace, love, and mercy that I am saved. And then the second common theme that you should see there in Ephesians and Titus is that my salvation is not earned through doing good works. Did you catch that? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus said, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. And to realize tonight that our salvation is not of anything that we could do on our own. It's not of our works. But again, it's because of the grace, love, and mercy of the Lord. But then this next one is the one that I really want us to focus on tonight. And that is that salvation is to produce the fruit of good works. Salvation is to produce the fruit of good works. This is our response to God's grace. Did you catch that in verse 10 of Ephesians 2, where it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Why? Why? For good works. The last verse we read in Titus 2 talked about how it was important for believers to maintain good works. Thinking just for a moment of back in Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship. That word workmanship means we are his masterpiece. We are his work of art. Now, you can look around you today, and there's a lot of us Christians here, believers, and look at each other and say, you know, we are works of art, masterpieces. Okay, we may wonder about that sometimes, but we are. We are God's masterpiece. And as Pastor Jerry shared with us this morning, we are a masterpiece probably in progress, are we not? Continuing to be sanctified according to the will of God. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be indeed. But we are his workmanship, and it says workmanship created in Christ Jesus. That's referring to really our salvation. At salvation, we become a creation of Christ Jesus. Titus 3:5 put it, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Washing of regeneration, the new birth happening. That's when we become a creation in Christ Jesus, where we become saved. And it says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, in that context, in Ephesians 2, good works are contrasted to evil works or what we did before we were saved. You could look back in verse 2 and see that. In Titus 3, the passage I read, I did not read verse 14, but verse 14 has this thought. It says, let our people, referring to believers, let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. And it really highlights how the good works that we do should especially be focusing in on urgent needs that people might have. And it says that they may not be unfruitful. Salvation is to produce the fruit of good works. We're not supposed to be unfruitful. I want to show you a picture. This is in our backyard. Those things are 10 feet tall right now. Okay. The package when I planted them said sunflower seeds. What's missing? You see something missing? Okay. Alyssa and I, every year we plant some sunflowers just because we like to see what happens with them. And we saw these things growing, and I mean, they were lush and green, and we were just anticipating the flower to show up. 10 feet tall, no flower all summer, and now they're starting to fade. We're a little bummed about that, to be honest, because I don't like planting things that don't produce fruit. And it's, to me, just a great illustration of us as Christians. We have been saved, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. They're supposed to be fruit. They're supposed to be a flower, not just big old green stalks growing. And I trust that that can be a good maybe picture to us tonight as we think about our good works for the Lord. Are we being fruitful in good works? Hopefully we're not just stalks growing, not producing. So as we think about the scriptures that we've talked on and those the three things I shared, and that, especially that last one, that salvation is to produce the fruit of good works, I want us to think about two questions, and then I want to give you some principles here. But the two questions, first of all, when am I doing good works for God that truly honor Him? Because that's important. If we are have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, then when am I doing those good works that honor Him? Can I answer that? And then the second question is, and you can go on to the first one and then the second one. The second one is, when might my good works for God be a false perception? Because sometimes we can be doing what we call good works, and yet really it's just a false perception. It's just a facade. It's really not good works. They're really not good works for the Lord. And we'll think about that tonight. So if you can stay track with me here as we've looked at Ephesians 2 and Titus 3 and a few other passages that I'm going to add to that tonight, I want to talk about some principles that we can use to evaluate our work for the Lord. Why do I do works for the Lord? And the first one is, any of us as God's people, we should have a foundational premise when it comes to our good works. And that premise is that God's design is that believers are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Why did God save you? He saved you to do good works. Okay, that's our foundational premise. People are asking, why am I here? Well, here's an answer for you. If you're saved, you are here to do good works. You are a creation in Christ Jesus to do good works. Just like I want to go out in my backyard and yell at my sunflower and say, bloom, okay? God is telling us as His people, I saved you, bloom, bear fruit, do something. That's His direction to us. So that's my foundational premise. Then secondly, another thing I realize is that my works for the Lord have nothing to do with securing my salvation. Why do I work for the Lord? It's not to try to keep me saved or to help me get more saved. It's not of works, according to Ephesians 2, lest any man should boast. We're not saved by works. And I referenced the Hebrews 10 passage there in your outline. There's a lot of different passages we could look at. But Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Pastor Jerry talked a lot about sanctification this morning. We are being sanctified in Christ. And those of us who are being sanctified by his one offering, the death of Christ on the cross, the one-time offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. We don't have to do more works to get saved. The works come after salvation as a fruit of our salvation. And it's important that we realize that we're not doing what we do in order to try to gain or to secure our salvation. A third principle is that it's the same mercy and grace of God that saved me, or the same mercy and grace of God that saved me now enables me to do good works for the Lord. Catch on to that. Just in the context of Ephesians 2 and Titus, where it's talking about the grace and mercy of the Lord, and that it's by His grace and mercy that we're saved so that we can be His workmanship created unto good works. Well, when I do good works, who gets the credit for that? Why am I able to do that? Is it because I'm something? Not at all. It's again, just as with salvation, it's of His grace, love, and mercy. So it is with the works, the good works that we can do. There can be no boasting in ourselves as we do works for the Lord. Probably most of us here, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would be very, clear from Ephesians 2. Salvation is not of works. I can't boast about it. God is the one who saved me. But how about the good works that we do? I think sometimes we want to take a little bit of credit for those, that we're not as quick to say, the good that I do now that I am saved is all because of God's love and His mercy. Sometimes maybe we can become proud, we become, you know, just happy, I mean, not happy, but just we can get caught up in the fact that, you know, look what I am doing for God. And we forget to give Him praise. And I think a key test is, you know, as we are involved in doing works for the Lord day after day, as maybe we see God use us in some way, are we quick to humbly before God thank Him and say, Lord, thank You that I can do this. Thank You that I was able to share with this person today. Thank You that I was able to help this person today. Thank You for Your grace in allowing me to do that. I think it's very important that we do that, that just as in salvation we acknowledge His grace and His love and His mercy in our day-to-day good deeds that we do, our good works for the Lord, that we acknowledge that it's that same mercy that does that. We see in Ephesians 2:10, what does it say? That God prepared, that we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Whose idea was it that we do good works? It was God's, wasn't it? Okay? We can't even take credit for thinking about it. Okay? It was God's idea that He saved us so that we could do good works, which He has prepared beforehand for us to do. And so we give God the credit, and I trust that we do that often. The fourth thing is that I don't do works for the Lord to appease Him. I don't do works for the Lord to appease Him. And a couple of things I'm thinking about here as I think about that thought. I don't know if you've ever found yourself doing this, but sometimes there's sins in our life that we don't want to let go. Can you identify with that? And sometimes, in order to maybe hold on to those sins and justify it, we'll say, well, you know, I'll just work harder for the Lord doing this, and God will be so happy with what I'm doing here that sin over here, it won't really matter. So basically, our works for the Lord become, we're trying to appease God, saying, God, be happy with me because I'm doing all this. Please don't look over here. And I think we need to be careful that if we start doing works for the Lord just to try to appease God so that maybe He won't get upset with something that we're hiding or trying to hide, that we're just covering up over here, that's really not what we should be doing. Obviously, we have to confess those sins and get it right with the Lord. The other thing that I think about when I think about that we don't do works for the Lord to appease Him is that Pastor Pierpont sort of talked about this last week. He talked about how sometimes, you know, the guilt of our sin continues to come back. Maybe we go by a place where we had sinned and we remember our sin and the guilt comes back. And, you know, he talked about how to use that as a positive as opposed to something that, you know, that is a negative. But we can understand that sometimes we can be the guilt of our sin, even, and I'm talking about sin that we've confessed. We've confessed our sin, but the guilt is so strong that sometimes we think it's almost like we feel like we have to do penance in order to really get God's forgiveness. We're really not sure that God's truly forgiven us, so we feel like we have to work harder, we have to do more in order to try to make God happy with us. It's sort of like, you know, what some people do before salvation. They just try to work and hope God is happy with them and that God is pleased. And sometimes after salvation, we can work, just hoping God is okay with us and that our sin is truly forgiven. And if we live like that, it's miserable. And we almost become the judge of, have I really been forgiven? Because we're trying to determine, when will God really be happy with me again? When will God really forgive me? And I just remind us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Can we really claim that verse? If we confess our sins, does God really forgive? Or do I have to work harder? Or do I have to, you know, do something in order to make Him happy again? No, we confess. God says He forgives. And then because of the joy of knowing that we have been forgiven, we do works for the Lord that then bring great pleasure and joy. But if we're doing works trying to appease God, there's not going to be a lot of joy in that. And there's going to be, it's not going to be a good thing. The fifth thing is that I don't do works for the Lord to create a false perception of who I really am. I don't do works for the Lord to create a false perception of who I really am. Is it possible that we use our works as a cover sometimes so that people don't really see the real us, the sin and maybe self-righteousness that's inside? And I think we'd have to say, yeah, it is. And I hope that we can all be people who would acknowledge to one another that we are just sinners saved by grace who continue to need God's grace and forgiveness in our life as Christians. Because why? Because we still sin. And we still need that. And we shouldn't try to hide behind the works that we do for the Lord to try to make it seem as if maybe we're perfect or something like that. Because that's, you know, we're around each other. We know better than that anyway. But we shouldn't really try to do that. Let's just admit it. Because sometimes we can almost deceive ourselves, can't we? Into thinking that, you know, hey, look at all I'm doing for the Lord. I'm fine. And yet we've deceived ourselves. We've presented a false facade, a false perception even to ourselves, to where we fail to deal with sin or heart issues that God wants us to take care of. So we don't want to do our works for the Lord just in order to create a false perception. Then the sixth thing is, I don't need to scheme to do good works or to manufacture them. I don't need to scheme to do good works or to manufacture them. To me, good works should be the fruit of God's saving grace. Ephesians 2. Again, I keep coming back to verse 10. We're His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. If we are a creation in Christ Jesus, what should naturally come? Good works, right? So I shouldn't have to be sitting down and saying, okay, in order for people to know that I'm saved, what are the good works I need to do? Like we're trying to scheme and trying to manufacture it. It should just be coming naturally. In Hebrews 9:14, there's other verses we could look at, but Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Our conscience has been cleansed through the blood of Christ by the eternal Spirit. Our conscience has been cleansed from dead works. Why? So that we can serve the living God. Why is it that we are able, you know, to do these good works? Well, it's because of the eternal Spirit who dwells within us. You can go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. And that's why I have that next statement on your outline, that good works should be a natural outflow of the Holy Spirit's indwelling. We know the Spirit indwells us, and so as we get up each day, as we yield control of ourselves to the Lord and to the Spirit who dwells within us, then out should come good works that would be fruit for God. Not things that are schemed or manufactured or made to sort of make it look like we're something, but it just should be the natural outflow of God's saving grace and of the Spirit's indwelling. Hope you catch that, because I think that's really important, because sometimes I think we feel like we have to sort of figure it out, or we have to, you know, manufacture, you know, how can we do good works to make sure people know that we're saved? Well, if that's what we're doing, then I think we need to step back and let God do a work in our heart so that we just are naturally doing what is good. And then the seventh thing, turn to Titus chapter 2. And the statement that I want to make, as you have on your outline, is that as I reflect on God's grace in saving me, and as I anticipate Christ's return, I should be passionate about doing good works for God. This will really help us now as we prepare to partake of communion tonight. But in Titus 2, verse 11, it says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people." And then notice what it says, "zealous for good works." So as I think about the grace of God that has brought salvation to me, as I think and anticipate the coming, the blessed hope, looking for the return of Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior, I should be motivated to, I should be passionate about doing good works, because that's what God has created me for through saving me in Christ. The word zealous there that's used, to be zealous, it means to be passionate. It means to be eager, to be enthusiastic. And we have to ask ourselves, as God's people, do we wake up each day eager to do good works for God, passionate to do them, excited, anticipating how God might use us that day? Someone has written that good works are not to be an adjunct to our Christian lives, something that we do at our convenience, but a natural, integral, and zealous part of our daily living. Christ did not shed his blood and die in order to make good works merely possible or to produce a half-hearted pursuit. I think we need to get a hold of that. Christ shed his blood. He died on the cross. Why? So that we would be passionate about doing good works for him. Let's go back to the sunflowers for a moment. You know, Alyssa and I spent not a lot of time this summer, really, but I mean, you know, we watered, you know, we took care of them, we even weeded around them, you know, and stuff like that. And we did not do that in order to just get green stalks growing, okay? We got that with the anticipation of the blossoms and the flowers and then the birds coming and eating the seeds and all that kind of stuff. That's what we looked forward to. And if we can just, you know, we look forward to the flower coming, and we wanted to see something like that, okay? And that's not from my backyard because I don't have them, okay? Because they didn't come. But if we can think about why did Jesus Christ die? Titus, this passage is so clear that he gave himself, he redeemed us so that we would be a people that are zealous for good works. And if Jesus Christ is looking around at Christians today and he does not see people who are passionate for good works, he has every right to say, "Hey, wake up here. I died on the cross. I shed my blood so that you would do good works, that you would be fruitful for me." Not that you would just sort of be half-hearted and at your convenience do a little bit of work. So I trust that we can just be encouraged, but be challenged too, that, you know, that we are to be about doing good works for the Lord. You have the statement on your outline that in response to God's grace and mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ being shed for your redemption, are you passionate to do good works for the Lord? As you live each day, is the Spirit in control of your life to where you find yourself naturally and enthusiastically seeking to do good works to the Lord? And I trust that that's what we work toward in our sanctification, that we work toward being people who can say, yes, we are passionate to do good works. We are allowing the Spirit to so direct us so that each day we are doing good works for him through the power of the Spirit. And as we prepare now to partake of the communion, realizing that obviously, when we partake, we're supposed to be believers who are in fellowship with the Lord, having dealt with sin. If God should happen to just bring to your attention, bring to your heart the fact that Some of the works that you're doing or the works that you're doing are really not fruitful works for God. Maybe they're half-hearted. Maybe they're being done for your own attention, your own glory. That you would take that to the Lord tonight. If God